Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 34, these are God's words. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." He said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn. God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat, or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So in verse 15, our Lord tells us to beware of something. He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Okay, so he helps us to understand what covetousness is. It's the idea or the feeling like your life, whether you're the substance of your life, whether you're being able to live, or the pleasure of your life, it being enjoyable to live. It's the feeling that you're being able to live, or life being enjoyable, is bound up in things that you have. Now, the reason he says beware of covetousness is that covetousness is very sneaky in our hearts. It's not easy to figure out that you're being covetous. The man in verse 13 didn't know, perhaps, that he was being covetous. He said, one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It's very bold. He doesn't just ask Jesus to sort it out. He asks Jesus to take his side. Now, the Lord Jesus is the judge of all, but that's not what he was doing in his first coming. The Father sent the Son into the world not to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. When he returns as the judge. But this man, because of the way he says it, he probably had a right case. He probably was in the right. And he probably thought that he was standing up for justice. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Sometimes our covetousness disguises itself as standing up for justice. I'm just standing up for what's right, when what's secretly in your heart is, and what's right is for me to have more things. Beware of covetousness. So covetousness sometimes disguises itself as standing up for what it's right. Sometimes covetousness disguises itself as planning and wisdom. This man has a legitimate problem, the rich man in the parable, starting in verse 16. He's run out of room for storing his crops. It's not wrong for a guy whose harvests are too big for his storage facilities to build larger storage facilities. But if the reason he's building the larger storage facilities is because he feels like his worth and his life and his joy is bound up in how much stuff is in those facilities, it might actually be covetousness in his heart that looks like wisdom and planning on the surface. Yes, Victoria. Covetousness as a desire for stuff. The desire to have more or different than what God has appointed to you in his providence. It often comes in the form of jealousy. So when you covet things that are your neighbor's, you're jealous of what your neighbor has, and you wish God's providence was to give you what he gave your neighbor, and to give what he gave you to somebody else. Okay, so any desire that is contradictory to God's providence to you is covetousness. Jesus defines it for us, like I said, in verse 15, when he says, "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Okay, so it can be disguised as standing up for what's right, when what you really want is more stuff. It can be disguised as planning and exercising wisdom when your heart is really bound up in the things about which you are planning and being wise about. It can be disguised as thankfulness. I will say to my soul, verse 19, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Is it wrong to be thankful for and enjoy the good things that God has given you? No, it's not. But to have your heart wrapped up in the enjoyment of those good things, which means not recognizing that it is God who has given it to you and not enjoying God himself and his good gifts. See, the man in the parable, it was bad news. When God addressed him, he didn't say, "Ah, my servant, come now into the fullness of your enjoyment. I, whom you have been enjoying in these good gifts, bring you now to enjoy me directly." No, God doesn't call him his servant or wise or good. What does God call him? In verse 20, he calls him fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So his life, his enjoyment was not bound up in God who gave him the good things and designed them to be enjoyable. His life and enjoyment were bound up in the things. And so listen, Jesus doesn't just say, so is he who lays up treasure for himself. He says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So, all of the poor and middle class people say, amen! Those rich people planning and being wise and storing up and enjoying, that's really a disguise for covetousness. And then the Lord turns to us in verses 22 and 34, and he says, ah, but aren't worry and anxiety also disguises for covetousness? If you really believe that you belong to God, you would notice that even the most unclean of the birds that pick apart and gnaw at on all the skunks on Highway 31, that God is feeding them skunk meat. Yay, the ravens get skunk meat. It's a buffet. God even feeds the dirtiest birds. If you're resting is really in God and his provision. If you mean it when you say, give us this day our daily bread. If you mean it when you come to your food and you say, thank you, God. You are the one who gives me the food. Then don't you believe that God is going to keep giving you food since he also feeds vultures? Turkey vultures? And he clothes flowers? Even the ones that you poor little girls pick in the field and they're three quarters dead by the time you bring them in. And it's not a, you know, ordinary cut flower. It's probably going to end up being used as fire starter when you need to get a fire going because it's very thin and very flammable. It gets so dead so quickly. Picked today, thrown into the oven tomorrow. That's how he describes it here. So, being worried about your food or worried about your clothing, those are also covetousness in disguise. It's not just a rich person problem, is it? The main thing is to see our God as the one who feeds us, who takes care of us, who prospers our work, who gives us our inheritance. And whatever he does in his providence, he does in fatherly love. And so even if we were to go without eating for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil were to come and disguise believing prayer, for us it would have to be believing prayer. We can't command stones to become bread. Believing prayer. I'm believing God for food right now, they say. Well, what if it's not God's wisdom to give you food? What if it's God's wisdom to give you every word that proceeds from his mouth? Covetousness comes in many disguises, doesn't it? Even in the disguise of believing God for whatever thing it is that you really, really want. And he may or may not have for you in his wise providence at that moment. Healing from a particular illness, which will come eventually. So, let us listen to our Lord Jesus. Let us see always our Heavenly Father in control. Our Heavenly Father loving us for the sake of Christ. Our Heavenly Father loving us who gave us Christ. And will surely with him give us all things, and let us beware of the many, many disguises in which covetousness comes. Let us not feel or think or live as if our ability in life or the enjoyability of life is bound up in things that we have. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us the Lord Jesus as not only our priest who has offered himself up once for all and pleads his atoning blood on our behalf, not only our king who provides for us and rules over us and subdues us to himself, but also our prophet who tells us, teaches us the will of God, and who knows us so well, and who warns us here about covetousness. Help us to listen to him and to be like him, who was so heartily satisfied with you and every word that proceeded from your mouth, that even 40 days fast couldn't tempt him to covetousness, nor the devil. We thank you that it is his righteousness which stands for us, and we thank you for the encouraging reminder that it is his righteousness to which we are being conformed. So grant the work of your Spirit to apply the life of Christ to us, we pray, in his name. Amen.